good to be excluded, does it? It doesn't feel nice. And that desire that we have deep inside of us for something, even if it's a good desire initially, can easily turn into something ugly, something like jealousy or bitterness. And we're a progressive nation, right? And so these days we're told that no one has to ever feel those kinds of feelings. And so we've created protections against that kind of thing, not only for all people, but even special protected classes of peoples to make sure that that doesn't happen. And we're just all about that kind of stuff now these days in our culture and our world, right? Diversity and inclusiveness have become buzzwords over the past 10 years or so, and organizations and groups have made that like their focus and their goal, the main thrust of what they're doing, diversity and inclusiveness. And to me, for the most part, that's great stuff, right? I mean, people, all people, in fact, should absolutely be esteemed as fellow human beings, as equals, equal in value, equal in worth, in the kingdom of God, and in the community. And in many ways, that has just not been the case. Something needed to be done. But as we seriously consider where we were as a culture and where we are now and where we are going in this cultural revolution, I think that what all that stuff ultimately does is to demonstrate the sheer powerlessness of government to manufacture goodwill in people. And it highlights, it doesn't diminish, the human condition, our sin nature. You know, in all of this, the church and Christianity in general has been ridiculed as being sort of exclusive, as monolithic and kind of plain, right? And yet the truth is that the groups that are on the front lines of this cultural revolution are not steeped in the love of Jesus and powered by the love of Jesus. They're turning on each other if you're watching what's happening in the news today. They're turning on each other. They're making power grabs. And they're excluding people who are not like them. They're making these things happen that they say they don't want to happen. They're chasing out and they're demonizing those people who don't advance their agenda, and they're calling on, they're not calling in people who don't think like them, right? They're excluding. They're the definition, in fact, of exclusive. But Jesus, and imperfectly his church, the body, from day one and even through today, call out not to just one people group, but to all people, to all peoples all around the world. And it is only through him that we could ever do something so monumental, so epic as what woke culture today believes it's moving towards and yet is failing so miserably at in the long run, because it doesn't have Jesus. Last week we talked about many of the different people involved in the events surrounding Jesus' birth. And so we saw all these varied responses to Christ coming to the world, to God condescending and coming to our level, sending his Son to walk among us, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling in it with us here in the world. We saw in those responses that we each have a choice, don't we, this Christmas season? We have a choice. We have a choice in how we respond to the reality of Jesus come to earth. The Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the entire universe, came to live with us so that every single person who would ever live will have the opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. That is the reality of Christmas. And that reality strikes me as the antithesis of exclusivity, right? And especially to what our culture today brands as inclusive. You see, the message of Christmas is for everyone. It does not exclude anyone. It doesn't say, toe the line, look like me, think like me, act like me, or tough cookies. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, our culture has thousands and thousands of groups shouting out, hey, if you're different, if you're different, check us out. We're different too. Have people made you feel other than? Have you been excluded from things? We have been too. We're different. Come join us. We have a group that includes everyone, no matter what. And all of that stuff sounds pretty great until you ask them, hey, how are we going to get those groups that excluded me to come and join us? And they say, oh, slow down. We don't do that. You see, those people over there are not good like we are. They don't really know the truth about the world. But we do because we're awesome. So come join us. And suddenly, all that pretension of inclusivity is plainly seen for what it truly is. Exclusivity. It's the same brand of tribalism that those same groups rail against day after day, but just with different power brokers at stake, right? They're the ones holding the keys instead. And that's what makes Christianity different than any other religion or any other group of people. The good news of great joy is meant for all people all around the world. Even those who reject it, even those who are openly hostile to this message, it is for those people too. And yes, God never calls someone to leave them exactly the same as they are. And thank goodness for that, right? God did not call me to leave me to be the same self-absorbed liar, cheater, thief that I was. When we accept God's call, we are born again into a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. He begins the process of making us into the likeness of His Son. But the new creations that He makes are not monolithic. They are diverse and they're beautiful. They're incredible, in fact. The good news of great joy is for all people all over the world. Just look at the diverse people who this message is for. This message is for the poor. And that's evident from two aspects of Christmas. The very first people who are told the message that the Savior has been born into this world were poor. They were shepherds. And they received the news with joy and they set off to tell everyone else about it. Here's their story in Luke 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The birthplace of Jesus Christ was in a manger. If Jesus had been born in a palace, those shepherds would not have been able to access Jesus. Because Christmas, though, is inclusive, Jesus was born in a place where everyone could access. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the poor, but it's also for the rich. The message of Christmas didn't stop with the poor shepherds. It found its way to the rich and the famous of the day. In fact, it reached one of the richest men around at the time, King Herod. And it reached the wise men, who were obviously wealthy individuals because they had the means to travel around and look at stars all day, right? That's what they did for their work. And they brought expensive gifts for the young child that they didn't even know. These men were also referred to as magi, or kings. Here's their story. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" Poor people could not enter a palace, but rich people could have access to this young family. God didn't want anyone to be left out of the opportunity to worship Jesus. It was an inclusive occasion. The message of Jesus is for the poor, it's for the rich, and it's also for the old. You know, there are a number of people mentioned in the Christmas story, and we talked about many of them last week. Beginning with Zechariah the priest and his wife Elizabeth, the message then went on and reached Simeon, who was preserved from death for the sole reason that he could see the miracle of Jesus being born, and then also for Anna the prophetess as well. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Apparently, it is never too late to hear and receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Old age is not a barrier to Jesus. His message is for the poor, it's for the rich, it's for the old, and it's also for the young. Now, maybe you already realize this, but Jesus' parents were quite young. Mary was likely only 14 or 15 years old when the angel Gabriel, God's messenger, came and appeared to her and delivered her the news that she would be carrying the Savior in her womb. And Joseph, he was only probably a couple years older than she was. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And John the Baptist, who was so young when he was yet to be born when he first heard the news about Jesus, he leapt at the news in the womb when Mary greeted Elizabeth with that news of the Savior. That's how young he was when he heard. And he leapt at that news. The good news is for the young. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. Later, when Jesus was preaching and teaching and doing miracles in His ministry, He made it absolutely clear that children can come to Him without limitation, without restriction. The good news is for the poor, it's for the rich, it's for the young and for the old, but there's more. It's more than that. The good news is also for men. Several men are part of this Christmas story. Joseph, Zechariah, Herod, the shepherds, the wise men. Each of these men was given this news, and they were given the opportunity to worship the new king. Not all of them took that opportunity, but each of them had genuine invitation to do so. But not just for men, the message is for women too. Far too often, women are overlooked. They're given second chair, and even more so in those days, but not in the kingdom of God. Women have equal invitation. In fact, the first two people to even hear the message about God going to send His Son to the world were women, Mary and Elizabeth, right? The message is not exclusive of gender. It is for men and for women. It is inclusive of poor, of rich, of young, of old, of men and women, and also it's for the religious. It's for religious people. Now, everyone has their own stereotypes of what it means to be a religious person. And many of those stereotypes are not so great ones, right? Especially from those who don't adhere to any specific religion of sorts. They often see religious people as sort of weak, naive, maybe even undeserving of basic dignity. But the truth is that religious people are broken people trying to find truth just like everyone else. But sometimes their faults are emphasized and their strengths are minimized. An area is found in their life that maybe hasn't been renewed by the Holy Spirit's power yet, and people are quick to point out, hypocrite, hypocrite, you're not doing what you say you believe, and all sorts of other nasty things as well. But as the Christmas message was conveyed to the people, it was conveyed to people who were steeped in religion as well, wasn't it? It was given to a priest and his wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth. It was given to Simeon and Anna, who were prophets of the Lord. And religious people, they need the good news too. We do. And God did not withhold it from religious people. Neither did He withhold it from non-religious people. The good news of great joy was spoken to people who were in all walks of life, right? It wasn't just one set or another. Being a shepherd is a rough work, and rough people usually end up with that kind of task. King Herod, when you think of him, he isn't a guy that normally you think of as being submitted to the Lord, because he wasn't, right? He wasn't. The wise men, they worshipped and gave gifts to the Savior born, but they were intellectuals, and likely they were given to trust their own learning above entrusting their lives to a young infant king. In fact, it's amazing to me how many likely non-religious people were part of what happened in that moment, in that place and time, and just how willing these non-religious people were to go and see what this fuss was about a baby. They were willing to go look. What's happening, right? This Christmas, don't forget that everyone is searching for meaning and purpose in their lives. And when our lives demonstrate that we have those things because of Jesus, is a huge deal to us in our lives, people take note of that. They see that. They want to know about it. What's all the fuss about? How do you have peace in this moment? What's going on in you that I don't have? They want to know. The good news is for the religious, it's for the non-religious, it's for the poor, it's for the rich, it's for the old, for the young, for women and for men. It's also for angels. You know, and all that went on, and even though the angels were the messengers to bring the news, it was clear that they were affected by this news as well, right? In fact, they were so captured by the moment, a song poured out of them. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Even heavenly beings are not excluded from the message of the good news. You know who else wasn't excluded? The educated and the uneducated. They were included as well. People who had no education whatsoever, they got to be part of the good news delivered that day. The shepherds are, of course, the first that come to mind. And later, Jesus deliberately chose the uneducated people to become His disciples. And apart from the wise men who received the message of Christmas, who were educated, of course, we see that during Jesus' growing up period in life, after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. Both the uneducated and the well-educated scholars of the day were not excluded from the good news of great joy. It was for all people. It was also inclusive of Jews and Gentiles. Jews are obviously a part of all this, right? Most of the characters around the crib when that happened were Jewish, but the message wasn't just for one ethnic group. The wise men traveled from very far away, right? They were Gentiles. They were not Jewish. And the fact that they came searching for the Messiah shows that the good news of great joy was not only for Jews, it was for everyone. In fact, Simeon reaffirms that fact when he sees Jesus in the temple and says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now, I could go on and on and on with this list of inclusivity of this message to all people, right? But I think the position is established pretty well at this point, right? It's reasonably established. The message of Christmas, the good news of great joy, is the opposite of exclusive. It is totally inclusive. It is for all people. And when we study the ministry and life of Jesus Christ, that truth becomes all the more clear. It is not just for a small group of people. This message is for everyone. So where are you at in all of this? I mean, aside from all the festivities and the family get-togethers that have come to define Christmas for most of us, have you ever felt that maybe there's a deeper meaning for Christmas for you personally? Have you missed that personal connection of this good news of great joy and felt like maybe it was for someone else, someone not you? It was interesting to me last week to see just how diverse that group of people who received and responded to the message of Christmas was. And we have Zechariah who had to be struck mute so that he could believe. We had Joseph in there who had to have this crazy dream in order to be reassured about that message. We have Mary who faithfully and willfully submitted her will and worshiped God in a beautiful song. She gave a beautiful song. We have the shepherds who not only believed and received the message, but they made an effort to go and see this miracle, and then they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. We have the angels singing praises to God, singing glory to God in the highest. The wise men came with academic interest, seeking the source of a star, and ended up worshiping this newborn king. And of course, there was King Herod, who viewed Jesus as a competition to him, and so he ordered the killing of all the firstborn boys in Jesus' age group in order to try to get rid of him. Last week, our question was, who of these will I respond like this Christmas? Whose reaction will my reaction be like? But maybe you couldn't answer that question last week because you have another question sort of stealing its place in your mind. Maybe this Christmas season you're asking something like this. Maybe you're asking, am I convinced that the good news of great joy is for me? Am I convinced it's for me personally? Do I believe that I am included in God's message? That He values me so much that He sent His only Son to this world so that I can have eternal life? I hope this Christmas you can answer those things in the affirmative, because that's what Jesus says is true. He says whether you are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, old or young, no matter where you're from, what job description or profession you have, whether you have XX chromosomes or XY chromosomes, whether you are a religious person or whether you're non-religious, God's message is consistent and clear. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. All people. That includes you. And for those of you who already have this stuff settled in your hearts and in your mind, are you seeing today? Are you seeing the opportunity that we have as the body of Christ, the church, to announce this good news to the culture that we live in today? The culture says, everyone is accepted unless you hurt or offend my sensibilities. Jesus says, you hurt and offend me daily, yet I love you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to help you. Culture says, everyone makes their own truth in their own way. But my way is right, because otherwise what good is it to me, right? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Culture says, you know, if you can think and look and act like we do, you're going to find freedom. Jesus says, I've come to set you free to be the you I've created you to be. Culture says, live the right way, think the right things, do the right acts, then you will be a good person. Jesus says, I have myself come to spare you from your sin and to make you holy. The message of Christmas is for all people. It is up to us to see how we react or receive or respond to this message. We have a choice to personally accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and claim the eternal life that God has promised to us through Him or not. We have that choice, but we can't say that we are excluded. May you all have a blessed and merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your message is for all people. Thank you that you come to earth not just for everyone around us, but for us personally, for me personally, for everyone in here. And Lord, thank you that you didn't exclude anyone. The rich, the poor, the old, the young, the wise, the unlearned. No matter who they are, Lord, this message is for them and for us. Thank you that you are an inclusive God, that you love all peoples in a way that nobody here on earth is able to do. Help us to become more like you in that way. Change us, make us new. Open our hearts to you first and foremost, that our hearts might be open to the world around us. Make us new creations this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of your Savior who is the power by which we can have that new life. In Jesus' name, amen.